Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Don't forget to check out the archives. There are over 5,000, probably about 6,000 archives by now of past shows that we've done that you can use to your advantage. And also thousands of articles that I or my Brain Trust members have written. And you can find all of those, including the Brain Trust list, by if you have a topic in mind, you can search by category. You can search by topic, which you can type into the search engine. And a lot of different ways you can use the site there. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. Both of those are there. The newsletter comes on Sunday afternoon by email, and the blog is weekdays. Every weekday it's updated, and we send it to you if you want it, or you can just come and get it. And that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. It's all free, too, by the way. Scott Caywood is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Scott's back with us. He's the author, along with Rita Bailey, of a book called Destination Profits. And a lot of times we think about generating profits, we think about buying and selling stuff, buying low and selling high. That's how you make profit, or cutting expenses, or being miserly at work and being frugal with your expenses, which is a good idea, by the way, folks. But there's another element, a very, very important element that's often overlooked by managers, and that's the profit opportunity that we have in our people. And that's what Scott's here to talk about. Scott, welcome back to the show.
Jim, always good to return. Thanks again for having me on.
It's good to have you back. Scott, the last time you were here, you talked to us about how to make professional fulfillment for employees a profit strategy. What are some of the other things that we need to know about working with our people, about finding, hiring, and keeping the best people and helping them to make our company a profitable organization?
Great question, Jim. You know, one of the things people oftentimes ask about around retention is, you know, how do we keep people? And I guess a couple thoughts on that. The first one is, you know, you really have to understand why people enter the workplace to begin with. Because if I come into your workplace because I want to change the world or make a difference, or I want a paycheck to pay the rent, or I'm looking for something specific. And if I find it inside your organization, there's a high likelihood I'm going to stay. But oftentimes we're not really sure exactly what people are doing there to begin with. So in the hiring process, I would build that in to every single position to make sure you understand, why are they really coming here? Because they're looking for something. It could be social activity. It could be new friends. It could be a lot of money. It could be a little bit of money, but benefits. You know, you just really don't know. So I always encourage people to use that hiring process as a true way to explore what someone's looking for. Because oftentimes the reason people leave is related to managers and whatnot, but it's also because they're not fulfilled in terms of why they entered the organization to begin with.
Well, now, is it possible? You know, one of the things we've talked about for a long time on this show is something that I've known for decades, and that is that people leave companies for reasons that most people would be surprised about. They don't leave companies and go somewhere else as much because they're not making as much money as they want to make, as much as it is because they're just not happy. As someone once said, employees don't leave companies, they leave people. But is it possible that the employees actually don't know why they're coming to work for you, that they actually haven't thought about that?
You know, I think that it's similar to what, you know, you're saying. I think some people go out there and get a job because it's just what you're supposed to do. I'm not sure.
Well, there is that rent thing.
Yes,
there is that food thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think at a certain point, Jim, once you reach that, you know, once you're satisfied with kind of that you're getting paid an equitable wage, it always is about something else, be it your manager or the impact you want to make in the world or the experience that you need. And we know that the younger generation coming in are going to be much more savvy in terms of what they're going to tolerate in the workplace because there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot less of them, so they can be more picky about where they work, mm-hmm. and their expectations will be higher. So employers should really get ready for the next 10 years to be able to, they're going to have a little bit more of a fight to keep good people and probably a fight to get people to join them to begin with.
So are you saying that in the 21st century, employees, especially the younger they are, are probably going to have a more well-developed sense of their purpose for being there beyond the basic sustaining of life?
Well, Jim, they're going to know, for example, one big difference in the upcoming generation is they are going to know and be very skilled at networking and socializing, because with the onslaught of technology, one of the things that has changed dramatically is that teenagers today are in constant touch with their friends. So when they enter the workplace or they go off to college, that's not going to change. That expectation will still be there. So policies and practices that put people in a cubicle and they stay there all day will simply not work and be fulfilling anymore, because our younger generations have really grown up on being able to be constantly connected with their group of friends, and that expectation is going to stay in place.
The old thing of losing contact with people is not as likely now as it was in the 20th century.
Absolutely not. And, they're not going to be as skilled at planning, but they're going to be excellent coordinators. They're going to be able to really be skillful at that. So it's going to be something to think about in terms of how it impacts our workplaces.
Now, when you say they're not good at planning, they're not going to be good at planning, what do you mean?
Well, the if you look at some of the generational differences, one of the things we know is that the baby boomers and previous generations have been really good at planning for future events. They've been kind of looking at planning for retirement. They've been good at planning for, oftentimes when you come out of the war generations, you're planning for that next kind of worry, that next concern.
Mm-hmm.
And in our current generation, our teens have not really had that element to begin with. But they've really kind of gravitated toward this ability to get things done through a committee, through a team, through their friends. I mean, they're really gifted at being connected and socializing.
Well, one of the reasons why I know you're right, because when I'm a baby boomer, right in the middle of the baby, well, not right, probably in the first, in the early quartile of the baby boomers, probably the way I should say it. But when I was a teenager, we went out. If we didn't have a date, me and a couple of guys would go hang out. But it was always, two or three guys, or I had a date and I was, just with my date. But in the last 10 or 15 years, it's quite common to see groups of boys and girls together and nobody's on a date.
It's all groups. All groups. Yeah, for the most
part. It's really interesting the way all that happens. And so my point is you can see that happening, that formulation of working in committees, collaborating and all that. You see that happening when they're very young teenagers, don't you?
You do, Jim, and it's a great training ground. However, it may be a little bit different coming into the workplace. So, they'll have to make some adjustments as, the younger folks as well. However, workplaces will also have to make adjustments to really keep people in committee.
Hold on to that thought. Dr. Scott Caywood, ladies and gentlemen, the co-author of Destination Profit. It's almost 9 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Scott Caywood. Scott is the president of Modern Think, which is an organizational development organization. And that's not really the way I should have come out, is it, Scott? An organizational development firm is the way I should have come out. And he's also the co-author, along with Rita Bailey, of the book Destination Profit, Creating People Profit Opportunities in Your Organization. That's what we're talking about. Scott, tell us how we can find the book and give us your website, please.
You can actually get it. The best price is still on Amazon.com, and they've got plenty on there for you. And the website is modernthink.com.
All right, so check it out when you get a chance. Destination Profit by Scott Caywood and Rita Bailey. Scott, we wound up talking about these Gen Xers and soon to be Gen Yers, and I like some of the things you're saying about them, and they are becoming a much more, every day that goes by, they become a much larger percentage of the workforce, don't they?
They do, and we will continue to rely on them for lots of things in terms of replacing the current workforce, but it's there'll be some nuances, there'll be some differences there that are important to keep in mind for sure.
Well, Scott, here's one of the things that, and I have a couple of other experts that talk about the younger generation as the Gen Xers and sometimes the Gen Ys. But here's a question for you: We often talk about the Gen Xers as becoming an employee, hiring them. How do you motivate them? How do you keep them happy? How do you have to work with them differently than you do the baby boomers? That kind of thing. And I guess I get that. But here's my question: how are the Gen Xers going to be as managers when they have to step up and, you know, and sort of strap on the management tools and be accountable and have to, you know, hire and fire and do all the make all the tough decisions that responsibility requires? How are they going to do it? How are they doing at that job?
Actually, they're going to probably be fairly skilled at that. However, you know, the ways in which they come to the decisions about what to do might look a little different. You know, the current Gen X and current, up and coming, workforce, one of the ways that I've often heard them described as somewhat tribal. You know, everything's going to happen in the sense of, we're all in this together. However, their expectations aren't necessarily going to be any lower. There's some evidence that suggests their expectations in terms of what they'll tolerate may be actually a little bit higher. So I think the expectations will still be there for high performance, for good work. It's just the ways in which they go about making decisions of who stays, who goes, how do we kind of recoach, that might look and feel slightly different. I mean, these folks, coming in, look at technology truly as an extension of their self. I mean, you don't see a teenager today without having a phone in their hand or their text messaging their friends. Previous generations have looked at technology as tools or as a treat, but never as an extension of myself. That's gonna drive some significant change in the workplaces, no doubt.
Well, I was talking earlier, before you got here, I reported that in 1873, the first practical typewriter was sold to customers.
Wow.
1873. Scott, 100 years later.
I love it.
100 years later, I was making my living on an Underwood 5 manual typewriter. So that's that. You know, your point is well taken. And then I became a very early adopter of computers, of technology. But it was something that I had to learn. It wasn't something I was born with. I had to make a big transition.
Absolutely. That adaptation, Jim, is interesting because, in fact, one of the tenets that we use in Destination Profit, that book, the reason we wrote it, is because we actually met this gentleman named Vern in Indianapolis. I was driving in there doing a speech one day, and I saw his sign, and it was Vern's Typewriter Repair. And this was back, 2002. And so I was just fascinated that people, A, still use typewriters, and B, that he had a repair agency. But he said he gets. I went in. I stopped in and visited him for a minute. And he says he deals about two or three typewriters a week. Business is currently, settled off. But I asked him, did you ever think about adapting to computers? And he said no, that he loved what he did, and he figured there would be at least a little bit of business. And he was the last in his line to do typewriter repair in his family. So he was still doing a little bit of work in 2002. I don't know if he's still there today, but it was Vern from Indianapolis.
Well, I still have my Underwood 5. It's a relic now. But I'm hanging on to it just in case the electricity goes out. I can still crank out a proposal.
I like it.
in the minute we got left, what would you like to talk to us about to give us one last shot of your wisdom on today on how to make sure that we get the most out of our people?
I think one more message would be clear, and that's help your people understand why what they do matters to your organization. I'm not a big fan of job descriptions as we've written them today. I want you to teach your people something more fundamental in terms of what they're supposed to do. Help them understand why what they're supposed to do matters to any organizational outcome, be it profit, customer service, saving lives. Most of us want to do something good with our life, and the reality is, in many of our positions, we don't understand why what we're doing matters to anything else outside of my own little self here. So when you can make that connection to help people really get it, here's your job description, but here's the other piece to it. We're going to add the value description. Here's why this job is valuable to this organization. And when people understand that, I find you get a lot better levels of return on their investment to your organization.
Well said, Scott. And the timing was perfect. Give us your website again, please.
It's www.modernthink.com.
Modernthink.com. The book is Destination Profit by Dr. Scott K. Wood and Rita Bailey. Scott, thanks for being here today. Good job. We'll see you next time.
I look forward to it. Take care now.
Scott K. Wood, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. Right back with Rick Maurer right after these messages. Here's Jimmy to take us out.
In Prosperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.